Welcome to the Bangers List podcast. You're here with Joel and Daniel. No Julian this week, thank fuck. Anyway, this is a podcast where we talk about a new song every week from our, you know, personal playlist that we've been growing for through a few years. Good speaking there. This week, mate, so this band was put on there by me. We're doing a double header, the band Adept. First song we'll look at is Grow Up Peter Pan. And then afterwards, if we feel like it, we'll talk about another song by them called Wounds. Anyway, how you been, mate? What's happening?
Mate, I've been really well, super busy. I don't know how it's going to go without Julian today. We might actually stay on topic. Who knows?
Finish a bit early. All right, then let's just jump straight into a sample, eh? So, obviously, I introduced you to this song a couple of years ago, I assume, by putting it on the playlist. And do you like it? What has it grown on you like most songs seem to be? What do you reckon?
I do like it. It's actually on my workout playlist. I don't know what it is. It's there's some elements of the song that I find quite cheesy and
I'll tell you what it is. It's fucking cringy. Angst.
It's angst. I think it is that angst. Anger. And it's like, and it's just got, there's something about it that really, really clicks with me. But when I sometimes look at the song and go, what the fuck is this shit? But
what are they talking about?
Yeah, exactly. And there are some lines in the song. We'll get to that, but there are some, you know, parts of the song that stand out that just don't, I don't really understand what's going on. But
yeah. So look, they are metalcore, right? I'm going to go with metalcore. They're originally post-hardcore metalcore. It's very similar. It's the whole addition of having cleans in your songs and more breakdowns, more or less. And they've got a bit of this and a bit of that. But this is actually kind of funny because I was researching about them and they started in 2004, right?
Correct.
Didn't release an EP till like 2006. That's fine. And their first album was like 2009. But the thing that I read was bands like this that came out in like early 2000s have Atreyu to thank for the whole genre.
Yeah.
Being metalcore, post-hardcore. Because obviously, you probably don't know that Atreyu formed in like 98. Right? But then to say that these guys were like genre defining and like made it all possible, I don't agree, because I think Adept are as good as a band like Atreyu. Sure, they're not as popular, which is a big thing about them. They're, you know, like criminally under fucking valued, or what's the actual word I'm looking for? Come on, help me here. They are,
mate. I don't know, I'm not inside your head. I don't know what's going on in your
head. Tell me what you reckon about them.
It's funny that you mentioned Atreyu. I was listening to this on the drive over here and just, you know, brushing up on the song a little bit, and I thought Atreyu. I thought there's a touch of Atreyu in this song in particular, in not so much in Wounds, but in Grow Up Peter Pan, there's definitely an Atreyu vibe going on. I think, yeah, early Atreyu for sure. And I wouldn't say that they have Atreyu to thank, but there's got to be maybe an influence and or a – I think we've talked about this in previous podcasts, but – you know, bands will often be touring together on festival, like on going on festivals with each other. There's got to be that, you know, they'll cross paths a little bit, right?
Yeah,
and they might so. Kind of, and I think with the way music just evolved throughout that generation, the early to mid noughties, I think that's just how a lot of music kind of naturally unfolded, right? Now you see lots of bands that it's hard to pinpoint where exactly it came from. Like some people say Killswitch Engage were the sort of the catalyst for metalcore, right?
Yeah, and, so it's just your opinion or like whatever article you have.
And everyone says that if it weren't for Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin, that metal wouldn't exist. But
and they also say if it wasn't for the Beatles using Maximum Gain for the first time ever, then rock and roll wouldn't exist. So you can go back and make an argument for
exactly,
it.
Exactly, right?
Whether or not it's right, it doesn't matter. But in saying that, like Atreyu from America, right?
Correct.
And then Adept, the band we're actually talking about today, are from Sweden.
Sweden.
So it's a bit weird to like try and draw correlations between the two bands and say, you know, this band has this band to thank for everything that they were able to do. I don't know. I don't agree. I reckon they're just amazing on their own. And this song itself, you want to touch on the cringy lyrics?
Well, look, when I listen to the lyrics, I think it's a bit cringe, but often, especially in unclean sections, lyrically, like sometimes I don't get every line.
Yeah.
More often than not, I don't pick up on what they're actually saying. It takes a few listens and of closely paying attention to understand it. Or you can just
Google the lyrics.
Yeah, or then, and that's what I did. I Googled the lyrics and I go, you know what? It's not too bad. Like, it's a lot better than I could do, that's for sure. And it's, as you said earlier, there's a lot of angst in it. It's a lot of...
I think, you know, this is the part where we really need Julian to, like, pick it apart and tell us what it means. But it kind of sounds like they... or the writer of the song, knows this girl they're dating or seeing or going to see is going to hurt them or, you know, chew them up and spit them out. They're, like, you know, really self-aware of the position they're in.
Yeah.
And, like, they're cool with it but also a bit angry, maybe.
Yeah, so they – or I kind of saw it as they went with it anyway. They went ahead with it, or this person went ahead with it anyway, and then they regret it. And they're like, what the fuck did I do that for?
But you have to do that because you live and you grow. And you need to do, this is a stupid idea, I'm going to do it anyway.
And it sounds like they're really venting through this song, and you can hear that not just lyrically, but with the kind of, that's what's good about this song, I think. It's the emotion, the raw emotion you feel.
Which is what we say is a big part of metal, like, we just love the emotion and the passion in it.
Yeah.
And you can't, without listening to metal yourself, you can't really sell that to other people.
Yeah.
You know, if I told my mum's like, Mum, this song is full of passion, she'd be like, you are a weirdo. It's an acquired taste, like we said.
You're a weirdo anyway, so who cares?
Yeah, so one of the lines in the song, I'll just bring it up right now before we talk about any other ones. It says, she is so fashion. And you don't, that's not really a sentence we'd use in English, I guess. But you know exactly what it means, eh? Like, if you describe a girl as she is so fashion, it's like, she looks good, she's hot, she's up to date, she's good. And I just think because obviously they wouldn't have spoken English first, they've like the way they've just used fashion as a word to describe a woman is really, really cool. And it's a pretty cool little touch in the song. Is there any other lyrics in there you didn't like or you did like?
I've never really been a fan of the – that's the only thing that's really let me down, the last couple of lines.
Let's sing it together.
No, please.
You always mate, try.
I think our viewers went down from like
– from five to listeners zero.
Were down from, five to four, yeah, something like that.
You always try to get everyone's attention, yet you always fail in each and every way tonight.
And I think now that I realise they're Swedish, that's probably why. I always thought just grammatically it just doesn't work. And it didn't feel, something just felt so off about it. I'm like, I know a lot of songs don't make sense in that way structurally or grammatically, but they... in this instance, it kind of makes sense because English probably isn't their first language, right? And that makes sense to me now. It didn't just click then, but yeah. I don't know. What do you think of that? Were you kind of on the same page with those last couple of lines or?
Yeah, look, I didn't mind the last line because it was just like, I felt like the whole reason for that line was that they'd seen the person somewhere and they've gotten over them and the hurt they've caused them and they've got that line to be like, fuck you, you haven't gone that far.
Yeah, but I suppose it does wrap everything up really well. It's like a, you know, if you've got a big essay, the song's an essay, that's a very strong and succinct conclusion, right? So
that's it.
And I think on the meaning of the song too, like I've always kind of viewed it as what kind of the message that stands out to me anyway, what my take on it is that, like I said earlier, they've sort of fallen for someone and they end up regretting it a little bit later. They might have been used by this person a little bit and they can kind of see it coming from a mile away, but they
still do it anyway.
They do it anyway. Yeah. And also, like a little side message that looks can also be deceiving. Like, you know, she's so fashion or whatever. Like, you know, there's lines in the song that kind of hint to her being so beautiful and she comes across as like a really
maybe not deceiving, but you know she looks like she's gonna hurt you, and she does. And so they've just been like, yeah, that's right about that experience.
Yeah, but I think they talk positively about her too. They say, look, she's really beautiful. She'll draw you in with those. With I don't know if they mention the eyes, but just for instance, she'll draw you in with those eyes and sort of seduce you in a way. Whether it's intended to or not, but she'll suck you in and it'll sort of create a bit of blindness for what's, you know, actually going on underneath and what they're getting into.
Get ready for some emotional trauma. But I think that's a really good subject matter to sing about. Obviously, a lot of songs come from that place of like emotional stress from relationships. So sure, it's a tried and true kind of trope, but it's still, they made a good song of it. So I like, I'm into it. It's good.
Yeah.
Fuck, I was going to say something really important about some of the other stuff, but we'll just jump into something even more important. That is the structure of the song. So I talk about all these songs in metalcore and the pop structure, how it's, you know, chorus, verse, chorus, and all that shit.
Etc.
Yeah, and with like the one vocalist or whatever. But this song, it kind of starts like it's got the intro and then a verse, and the verse continues on, but it has clean vocals, and then the verse continues on and goes back to screamo. Screaming vocals, right? And then it goes into a chorus. And it's kind of an interesting dynamic to have cleans doing verses with the screams, I think. And it works really well. Did you notice that? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I hadn't really given it a lot of thought until you pointed it out just then. Come to think of it, yeah, it is an unusually structured song, isn't
just,
it?
Yeah, even just to use, like yeah. I said, use cleans in your verse with the screams.
It's a different dynamic. I like that. I'm a fan. I noticed that... recently, the Amity Affliction has started doing that a lot in the last couple of albums. They sort of flipped it around. Like, yeah, they still mainly go like a verse, chorus, bridge, chorus kind of approach with the form of the song. But you'll notice Aaron will come in for the he'd typically do the cleans throughout the choruses, but you see him doing a lot of verses now too, and then Joel coming in with the screams.
Yeah, as bands evolve.
Or the growly sort of vocals in the chorus. So it's... And that's kind of what they've got going on here a little bit in Grow Up, Peter Pan. Yeah.
And also in the song, they do that. It's kind of like, I call it a chorus when it's like a bunch of people yelling out, a chorus of people to sing a part of the song. You know, they have a bit of that. And in the other song, they've got some spoken word stuff. But like I've said, this is meant to be kind of a trait of nu metal. But these guys, like I said, they're not nu metal. So it goes to show you can just bring... in bits and bobs from every kind of genre.
I love that. Yeah, and that's how, you know, we talked about earlier how music has evolved kind of naturally. I think that's part of it. Like you draw inspiration from all these different genres or subgenres or whatever you want to call them these days. Sub-genres. There's so many.
Sub-genre. Yeah.
You're just getting out of control. But it's all these different styles of music, for lack of a better definition. And you kind of take bits and pieces from them and have a crack, chuck it in. You even see bands, metal bands these days, experimenting with some electronic stuff. You know,
electronicore. It's got its own genre.
Yeah.
So it's all out there. Just do whatever you want. Pick any genre and whack it in your metal song, I guess.
Yeah, just be creative. Have fun.
And we'll talk about this in a few weeks, but I think you can even put rap music in your metal songs.
I agree.
I didn't think you would. So, look, that's that song. We'll just jump into the next song, which is called Wounds, off their latest album, Sleepless. So as you can see, very similar song in a lot of ways. I don't know if I like it more than the other one. They've come into what seems to be more of a mainstream sound, and good for them, because I want them to be marketed globally because of their skill and they deserve fame and success. But I don't know. It's just not as good as the other song. What do you reckon?
I disagree. I think it's a better song because it's a much more mature sound. And I think you compare them, you compare A to B, it's... they've obviously come a long way. I think there's a bit of a gap between these songs in terms of
skill level.
In terms of not skill level, but in terms of skill level. But it's what Grow Up, Peter Pan was off their first album, right?
Your first released album, But I'll give you the word for it. The first Grow Up, Peter Pan is extremely raw.
Mm-hmm.
The sound of it is all, like you said, it's quiet. Maybe not unprofessional, but it's less produced than Wounds, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think in Wounds, it clearly shows they've come a long way musically. As musicians, I think they've probably had a bit of a lineup change since then.
Yeah. They lost like a guitarist and a drummer, I think.
Yeah. But and you can tell, like, they're a different band at this point, but I think for the better.
Okay. Well, there you go. The losing a guitarist should change the character of the band a lot, and even the drummer. And it has, but like, I'm not saying they're bad or anything now. They still have a great sound. And this album I did enjoy. And like, with the lyrics in this song, that they are a lot more mature, and the sentences or the lines are much longer, well thought out, I guess. And like you said, they were very young when they started. And now this band's been around for 15 odd years. Mm. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of growth there. They're like early 30s kind of guys now, with probably families and stuff. So like, a lot of maturity can happen in that time. And I'm glad it has. And actually, I'm shocked they're still together. Because that's kind of crazy when you think about it. They're in Sweden. They've never really been to Australia to tour. They've only really toured around Europe and maybe Asia. So
yeah, it's interesting.
It's not like a global success in reality. But obviously, they've got albums and shit out.
Yeah.
Speaking of their getting albums out and labels and shit, they so this album, the most recent one, Sleepless, that Wounds is off. They recorded that whole album, right? And oh, fuck, this is so sad. The label that had the rights to the album, you know, that was supporting them and whatever, said they didn't want to release it. So the next step for them was to produce that album, Sleepless, from their own pocket, you know?
Mm,
they had to pay for it themselves, fund it all and get it all done, and then produce the world. And like, I read a bit about it, and they said, you know, it was like the most expensive pre-production of their lives. It was quite crippling. But to see they're still going and alive, like, fucking shout out to them. Good work. It's a great album. And then, because they recorded it twice, basically.
Yeah.
They just have to go and do it again somewhere else. Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder if they would have had all the demos ready to go and then had
to... What can they keep? Like, what would the record label have given them? I couldn't find that anywhere, unfortunately.
It's interesting. It would be interesting if they had still had... It probably can't disclose it for copyright reasons, but if the label still had copies.
Yeah.
I wonder how different it would sound.
Or maybe like the singer or whoever writes the music had his own notebook with all these lyrics in there, and he's like, no, we'll just write them again. Something like that. So like, all bands go through adversity and stuff, I guess. And like, this is the kind of thing I would think would be a good reason for a band to dissolve, almost, because you basically go broke. All your ideas have been, well, not taken, but you can't use a whole album you've just created and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see it happen from time to time. And for the record labels, it's always just about the money. At the end of the day, they don't care who they're screwing over. If they're getting profit from it, that's all that matters to them. And they want their artists to stick to their terms and conditions that have been put forward. And if there's like a slight breach, even a slight breach in it, often they'll kick up a stink, and then it creates a, you see it, I know quite a few bands. I won't get into it because I'll get
emotional.
Yeah, I'll get very emotional. No, I'll just go off on a massive tangent, and look, we'll save the tangents for when Julian's here. But I think it's really character building going through something like that. If you're having lineup changes, having issues with record labels and press and those bits and pieces, I think it really tests your character as individuals, but then as a unit.
Yeah,
as
be
well.
Training. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and so for them to get through that stage, get through that really difficult, what was presumably a very difficult phase in their lives, to come out of that together,
and on their next, off for it. Yeah, but on the next album, this is the kind of thing that they might sing about, because this album's got a lot of stuff about relationships in it again, this Sleepless album. And so they could probably use the anger, if there was any anger or animosity towards the old label, like, to sing about that. So we'll see what happens if they do more work. They've been picked up by a new record label now, which is great. And hopefully this new label will bring them to Australia or something.
That would be nice.
Look, we've touched on it before. Australia is fucking impossible. It's shit has to come to.
Yeah.
It's unaffordable. Nobody wants to do it, so maybe not, but we'll see.
I know, right? All That Remains were here in Canberra for the first time they've been to Australia in 8 years, and I couldn't see them.
We fucking both missed it.
I couldn't see them.
Shit.
And so, look, that could have been our last chance. Who knows?
Exactly.
Oh, it's
killing me.
You know, in saying that, Australia has a lot of great bands too. So yeah, you got to keep an eye out for them. And
I wonder if the same bands that we talk about in Australia as being, you know, popular Australia bands, do they have trouble going over to places like Europe and the States and performing there? Mm. Probably the same kind of thing. It would be expensive.
They probably have aspirations to go to Europe, and you see a lot of them actually kind of stay in Europe.
Yeah, because actually the thing is, when you go to these places that don't have such a big land mass, you know, Australia's got a lot of empty space and deserts and stuff, and the main cities There's so much space between them. And obviously bands have to travel that space. If by plane it's expensive or if by bus it's quite far, you know, so you, in Australia you would do Brisbane, maybe Sydney, definitely Sydney, and then
Melbourne.
So that's kind of the three. That's the East Coast. Yep. And then as you go further west, it's quite a drive to get to like Adelaide and then even further to Perth.
And they've both got terrible curfews too, both of those states. So
exactly. But yeah. in a place, I guess, is London a good example around like London in the UK?
Yeah.
So that's more people than Australia and a much, much smaller bit of land. So you don't have to travel as far to get to your next show. You probably still have a big tour, right?
And
so that's just not selling Australia at all. Like, why would you want to come here when it's such a pain in the ass, I guess?
Yeah, exactly. And the band managers probably look at it and look at the logistics of it all and think, fuck that.
Like, you manage a business yourself, you'd probably say the same thing. Like, fuck, we can't afford that.
Yeah.
Fuck that place.
Yeah.
They can't even speak proper English.
And then the festivals in Australia, particularly in the metal scene, are few and far between.
Yep.
Since the demise of Soundwave. We won't get into that. No. But there's a few good festivals that are right on the rise. Good Things, Downloads made its way over here. But they simply don't compare to what you get in Europe. The UK is absolutely amazing. They had Sonosphere that might have stopped in recent times. It's not just metal, that's sort of rock and even a bit of pop stuff. But so many really famous European festivals, and the bands strive to go there because they'll be playing, you know, a band that might in Australia play in front of 500 or 1,000 people can play in front of tens of thousands.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they just, people love it over there.
Yeah. What would you want to do for your success? You'd want to play in front of the bigger crowd, get more profits so you can keep going.
And I said this in, I think it was our Polaris podcast, you sell your merch at these festivals. That's how a lot of the bands are making their bread these days.
Oh, all I hear is you trying to tell people to buy merch.
Buy merch, guys. Buy merch.
Taking a couple of steps back to this song, Wounds. Like I said, lyrically mature. Is there any lyrics in the song you really spoke to? Or just the whole thing was quite good. What do you reckon?
The lyrics in this one didn't. I know I said I like this song more, but probably more so for the music rather than the lyrics in this particular.
It's quite driving.
Instance. Yeah.
Well, one of the lyrics is only a short one. It's quite profound. I guess he says, "My heart will not be compromised. I won't drag my feet to a dead beat." So, obviously, the song's about relationships, like I said, getting out of a dead relationship or whatever and trying to move on through it. So, that same kind of place again that he's gotten, you know, emotional trauma or sadness or a breakup put into the song. Sung the whole thing about it. It's pretty consistent of them to keep singing about relationships and girls and stuff.
Often it's the driving force behind
everything.
And then songwriting, especially when it comes to lyrics, it's, you know, a lot of people experience that heartbreak, I guess, and it's a great outlet to, you know, to vent and it's really eye opening too. Like you put it onto paper and you start to sing these lyrics and you go, oh, it's, you know, that's what I'm actually thinking, and you kind of unload, and it can be good too. I don't blame them for always talking about their exes and the troubled women in their life. You know,
yeah. On this album as well, and I think in this song even, they've got a lot of like spoken word stuff to the point that probably in one of the songs it goes for like 30-odd seconds of spoken word kind of stuff. And does that ruin a song for you? Do you like songs that just have spoken word in it?
If the song calls for it, I think if bands do it every single song, it's kind of like
too much.
You know, a bit overkill. But I think if there's a song that calls for it, then go nuts. If you think, I think this should be spoken, this part should be spoken or chanted or whatever it might be. Just if it's not overdone, I think that's great and it works well in this case.
This song also has choir singers for their cleans in the clean choruses. I really enjoy it. I think it's quite cool. It's you know who did it a couple of years ago was Parkway Drive did it. I guess you could say who else has done it?
Amity's done it.
Maybe Metallica, they didn't use a choir, but they used a symphony orchestra to do their songs for a different feel, which is
what you think to I know this isn't quite this caliber of bangers, but Evanescence, right?
Yeah.
Right. Then
Amy Lee is a choir on her own.
Speaking of rap in rock songs, lots of bands do it, man. Volbeat do it, dude.
Yeah.
Volbeat, like another European band. Not Once again, not quite the bangers that we're talking about in this list, but yeah, I think in the metal, the rock and metal scene, the use of choirs, orchestras and choirs, fantastic. I love it.
And widely acceptable now. Yeah. So it's not like, this is a metal song. Unless of course you don't like it. That's fair enough. Someone like what you like, I guess, like we always say.
Yeah. I think it adds a layer of epicness to the, the song and
power.
Yeah. And it really kind of brings things home. A lot of the time. It's,
well, man, I was going to say how many bangs out of 10, but more importantly, I want to actually touch on bands that are like Adept and any songs that are good by Adept that aren't these ones.
Okay, well, I think to sort of lead into that, I might just give a little bit of a mention to the actual music. I feel I haven't talked about the music itself, aside from the lyrics and the
guitar,
meaning.
The guitars for me was just like... I don't know. I want to study it more. Yeah. It was all quite simple, but
then, you can think in both of these, like we talked about comparing them to Atreyu early on. I think that post hardcore has that kind of punk element to it, which is I get a bit more of that from Grow Up Peter Pan.
Yep,
I get more of that kind of vibe. And moving into Wounds, it's an interesting one. Like the intro really comes through with the kind of a poppy sort of vibe.
Yeah.
And you think, where's this kind of going? And then it's all of a sudden the lead guitar kind of doesn't cut out, but it changes mode or something like that. And it just, and locks in with the rhythm a bit more closely. And it just turns into this thrasher, for a little while.
Say like thrash metal.
Yeah.
Trivium-esque in a way.
Yep. Trivium's a great example.
The song does start with it's like a chorus of singing. Yep. A lot of voices. Singing
the first part.
And, like I said, it doesn't quite sound like it's going to go into a metalcore song. Mm. It does.
Yeah. It's, and then, as the song progresses, it's kind of got these weird phases, doesn't it? But one thing that kind of stood out to me, like it's quite technical throughout. It has even in elements, it's got genty sort of vibes to it. In some parts, you listen carefully, like, oh, there's sort of a gent style riff, not quite as, you know.
What is gent?
Is gent?
It's quite a new thing, isn't it? What is it?
Exactly? Gent, well, I think we'll have to put on what are they called? After the Burial or something. We'll have to do a chat on one of them one day to really break it down and look into it. I couldn't really define gent in a few words. But it's very low tuning and very technical.
I was going to say, it was really like low tuned guitars, just chugging.
Yeah. And lots of varying time signatures as well.
Oh, okay.
So it's very driven by the drums a lot of the times. Yeah. It's, and the rhythms that are used are much more technical than what you'd normally expect. And then going back to Wounds, I really like later in the song. It's probably about halfway through. You'll notice the rhythm guitar kind of, instead of going from that thrashy, really sort of fast paced, technical kind of, approach, it holds back a little bit and just longer breathing kind of notes, simpler, and it really allows everything else to shine through a lot more. The leads and the vocals. I think it's when the cleans kick in for the second time.
It might be. It's to make it like a really stark contrast between the passages.
Yeah.
Rather than just being screams and fast the whole way through, it does like stop up and slow down. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. And it's, I think, songs have got to have gears in them. If they're at one gear all the way through, then it can work depending on what you're going for. But what you'll find is most songs will, start at, say, first or second, and then gradually build their way up to fourth, and the chorus drop back down to second or third. And you'll notice there'll be sort of gear changes throughout the duration of the song. And in this case, it's a pretty big change in gears, but I think that stark contrast that you mentioned really does the song some good.
Yeah, so like, if you are not into songs that change that drastically, maybe this one isn't for you, but it's still a banger. So other songs I really enjoy by these guys, I'll just say two, is Black Veins is one, but that one does start with a bit of spoken word at the start. but otherwise it is a banger as well. And they've got another one called Shark, Shark, Shark.
I've heard that one.
Yeah, that's off the other album. Quite good as well. Yeah. Any other songs you liked by them? All that are good, worth checking out.
I don't know a lot of them, aside from the ones you actually mentioned, funnily enough, so I won't go there, but I could mention some other bands.
Yeah, give me some bands. I got fuck all. Besides Betray
You. Well, I think in the early, you listened to Grow Up Peter Pan, I actually got a bit of a 3 Days Grace kind of vibe as well early on, just in some of the techniques they were using. You can hear some similarities there, and Bullet for My Valentine too. Early Bullet for My Valentine.
Yeah, because Bullet would have been around that same time. Yeah. I wonder who inspired them. Because they're early 2000s with their songs and their popularity taken off.
Mid-2000s, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. And they're quite a similar sound. Yeah.
And
that's a bit silly.
Definitely a little bit of, more so in Wounds, you can hear some August Burns Red and Parkway.
Oh, okay, great. Well, we're not really giving people new stuff like, hey, go and listen to Bullet and Parkway. No, but I guess the real songs we want you to check out.
And I read that they've done a lot of touring with August Burns Red in the past too. So,
influences.
So there you go, like influences or drawn inspiration from them or inspired each other to write similar kind of styles of music.
It's all about sharing.
Yeah, that's right.
And how many bangs out of 10, mate? We'll do Peter Pan first, Wounds second.
Okay, I'll give... I'm going to give Peter Pan 6.5.
All right, I'm going to give it an 8.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I don't know why. I'm just feeling it today.
The raw emotion, yeah. and Wounds, I said it's better, and it is. I believe it's better, but only slightly, 7.
Nice. Well, I'm going to give Wounds a 7 as well.
Oh, there we go.
There you go. So we feel the same about that song.
Yeah.
We like it, but it's not the best thing we've ever heard.
All right, well...
Fuck, anything else you want to say?
No, I think that's all I want to say. Normally we'd get Julian closing us off with a bit of a rant on something.
Bit of a tangent, something to really bring all
talking
together.
Talking about the lack personal. Of breakdowns and blah, blah, blah. But not today. I think we've gone for a while, hey? I didn't think we'd be able to talk this much shit without Julian. But
I'm not going to tell you. Look, follow us on Twitter, at The Bangers List. Listen to the playlist as it grows on Spotify. If you want to see the playlist on some other medium, let us know where we can share it. Otherwise, fuck, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Later.